You now turn to the Old Testament scriptures to Psalm number 23, the 23rd Psalm. And we may read that psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us that further reading of his own holy and inspired word. A familiar psalm to us all. It is interesting how this psalm is so often sung, and even find at funerals, particularly if there's any kind of Christian anything about a funeral, even a personal Christian, there seem to be that Psalm 23 seems to be the psalm. And again, why that is, sometimes it's hard to understand why this psalm above every other psalm in the book of Psalms. And even those who are totally godless, many of them will know the words of the psalm. And in some ways, we would have to say that it is a psalm that can only be applied, strictly speaking, if I can say that, to the Christian. It is so personal. And this personal aspect of it surely is something that all God's people can identify with, and in that way, loved by all the Lord's people. The my shepherd, the my of verse 1, means something particularly. It means this, I shall not want. I won't need anything more because he is my shepherd and he cares and looks after me. There is that great provision in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The margin speaks about pastures of tender grass. You get a clear picture there, does it not? And what are the green pastures to the Lord's people? Well, surely it is the word itself, where we can feed on in a particular way for our own souls. It speaks then, in, as it goes on at the end of verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters, waters of quietness. The whole idea again there, of peace, and indeed also can be seen as what satisfies and what satisfies the thirsty. It goes on in verse 3, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoration, he restores my soul, is the whole idea again of a reviving and a quickening and a restoration in a way maybe that to bring us back from where we were before, or where we are discouraged, that he restores our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. This is what he does, isn't it? Why is that? Well, we're told at the end of verse 3, for his name's sake, for his own glory, that that is done as well. But I would like tonight to particularly focus on verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. First of all, then we see here, the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through it, I will fear no evil. Now, often people speak about dark valleys as they go through this life. Times of troubles, times of danger, times of difficulties that come our way. And that can bring, as it were, a darkness into our situations. And for the Christian, there can be many of such. The Christian can know much of trials and difficulties. They can know much of troubles and danger in this life. And I would suggest to you, friends, that you don't need to be on the road as a Christian for very long before some of these things become very real to you. And you realize as a believer that maybe things are not as smooth as they maybe you thought they would be when you start, first of all, following the Lord. What does the psalmist say? The troubles that afflict the just in number many be. But he doesn't stop there, does he? But yet at length out of them all, the Lord doth set him free. And that's what our hope is. The troubles that afflict the just in number, there'll be many of them. Dear Christian friend, you know that as I know it. Troubles every day, troubles on every side. Troubles out with the home, troubles within our homes. In the wider circle of friends, in our family circles, all these things. And so, friends, being a believer doesn't mean no more troubles. But it means that you're never alone in your troubles. And so the Christian, being a Christian, brings many difficulties into your life. Why is that? Well, because while we're in this world, we are not of it. And because we are not part of the world, that we don't fit in anymore, there's bound to be difficulties, and there's bound to be trials and temptations even, and tribulations. And I would suggest to you, friend, if you know nothing of that in the world that you live in, if your life is smooth and easy without any problems whatsoever, I would suggest to you that you should examine your own life. Because the lot of the Christian is that there will be difficulties. Because, as I said, we are not of the world. We're in it. We have to be in it at this time. So here we see then the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, when all that is true, what I've said, what this speaks of is what yet awaits death itself. Looking forward to that as well. Remember, Scripture speaks about the last enemy, which is death. And yet we are told we don't need to fear it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, the picture here is, of course, as we saw as well in John chapter 10 there in what we have read. The picture here is very clear and don't need to go into any detail. Even the children here will know about this. The shepherd and the sheep. Picture here of sheep with the shepherd passing through a valley. And when we speak about a valley, there's obviously it has been formed, if you like, by mountains on each side, causing shadows to fall. Even in recent days, I have been taken to see some amazing valleys and to see the mountains round on each side of them. And this valley here is a picture of the pathway that is there for us to go. The pathway, if you like, from time also into eternity. So how then can we speak of death, which is such a reality, as a shadow, the valley of the shadow of death? What is a shadow? Well, a shadow, as we know, is something with no substance. Well, friends, is an encouragement to us here that he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He goes through it. And what do we know, friends, about death itself? It's an encouragement for us that the way through it is what it is. It's through the valley of the shadow. Now we see this referring to that death for us. We are passing through it. And the greatest encouragement as well for us is this, that the way through death has already been opened for us. That the Lord Jesus Christ has gone ahead of us. And that he has defeated death and the grave. And that has been opened up for us by the great shepherd who's gone ahead. Who has gone before us, doing what? Conquering death and the grave. He's taken the sting out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's the promise that we have. Now, friends, as believers, the believer doesn't stop in the shadowed valley. He goes through the valley. We don't know, not for a moment, we don't remain in the valley of death. We don't for a moment believe that we are under the power of death in our souls. Because we know that scripture teaches it, doesn't it? That at our death, that our souls are made perfect in holiness. And they immediately pass into glory. Our catechisms tell us that. Yes, our mortal remains will remain in the grave. That's the reality. But there will be a great reuniting of body and soul one day on the resurrection morning. But friend, when we think about this, death for us, it is a part in your body and soul. But it's to go, the soul to go with Christ. Your soul will immediately pass into glory. So in that way, death is a gateway. Or as C.H. Spurgeon put it, that death is but the porch of the house that you pass through to get into the house that is there awaiting us. And friends, death doesn't affect our souls negatively in any way whatsoever. Now, does that mean that death is nothing or not at all? Death is what we have to pass through. And death is also there for us, that it's for all. We will be overtaken by death, and you cannot resist death. In a real sense, friends, death is something that darkness is what's chasing us, as it were, from the moment we arrive into this world. There is a continued chasing us until from the day of our birth until it overtakes us and takes us, as it were, out of this world. But at the same time, friends, we need fear no evil. We need not fear the evil one or the power of death, which is the last enemy. We have become so acquainted with death. Sadly, so many, they think it's nothing. It's just, well, that is it and everything is finished. But you and I know, Christian, that's not how it is. That's not at all. We see a family taken. We see loved ones taken. We see friends taken. We see believers taken. We see the godless taken. It is there. Death is there at all times that we have to face. Individuals come and go. Generations come and go. But it is there. But there's no evil in death for the believer. As we said, the sting has been taken out of it. But we go where? And that's a great question, isn't it? When death comes, where are we going to be found? Where is that porch leading us into? what is waiting us behind death. Scripture speaks about man goeth to his long home. Every man. David tells us elsewhere, we are strangers before thee and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Nobody continues forever. Death will be there. It is a valley of the shadow of death. That is what we are going through into it. Dear friends, while at times, sure this is true for all us, that the thought of death may cause us to tremble and to fear at times, what we need to do is to look beyond death. What we need to do is think of what awaits on the other side. And that should encourage us at all times. Indeed, not just to look beyond death, but to think of the one who awaits us when we pass through death. The one who has died for us. The one who rose again from the grave, and the one who passed through death himself to where, as it were, open up a place for us, that we would go and to be with him where he is. He has gone ahead. And something else about it as well as this, and that should encourage us, Christ tonight is waiting for his people's arrival in heaven. For every single one for whom he died. And there is if I can say, maybe I said this before, a waiting with nothing being complete. Well, the scriptures say that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And that ultimately will be when all his people are gathered in. When they have come through, if death takes us, there will be for some, of course, on the last day. But there will those who death will take, and having come through death, and there he is waiting. Think of it, friend. Think of the blessing that awaits you. Have you ever thought, I'm sure you have, what you'll be thinking and seeing when you see him face to face? And you will see him, Christian. Do you ever wonder what that's going to be like for yourself? Because then there'll be no sin. At times now we tremble at the thought of the Lord came and found me as I am with all my sinful nature still with me. But there, friend, it'll all have been left behind. And you can see him face to face. Yes, physically. Face to face on that great resurrection day. That is what awaits all the people of God. We shall be like him, scripture tells us, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, you say, I feel so far removed from that tonight. I feel so far removed from being like Christ. Like him. How are we going to be like him? Scripture tells us we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Well, yes, we will. In this at least, that we'll be free from sin, therefore free from every imperfection and sorrow. And we will have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And we'll be like him in immortality. We'll be like him in incorruption. We'll be like him free from every single possible sin that you ever had struggled with before. I am sure, friends, for most of us, that is hard for us to grasp, to be free from sin, but how you long for it. Oh, how we long to be free from sin. But you will be there as you pass through and as you enter, as it were, on the other side, because sin cannot enter there. And I believe you will not remember even in a negative way whatsoever the sin that was once in your life. seeing him as he is, you will worship and adore him for eternity, for what he has done for you. Seeing him as he is. And you will see him, as I said, you'll see him in his human nature, with our human eyes, not by faith, not needed any longer, but by sight. God will be seen as he is, in Christ, in a way that we cannot understand now. We will see him in his divinity and in his human nature. That'll be how it'll be. Not by faith any longer, but by sight. As somebody said, you will see him in the splendor of his infinite majesty. In the splendor of his infinite majesty. What a day, friends, that'll be. Yes, we have to go through the gate of death before then. But maybe you can't say it any more than I can. But some days, by God's grace, we say, oh, hasten the day, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hasten the day when this will be. I know that maybe not every day, but we even sometimes even have a thought of that, do we not? So friends, the valley of the shadow is but a transitory, brief walk through, as it were, the porch. And when we think of those gone before, who have gone this way, and all of us here would have known loved ones who have gone, whether it be family or friends, who have gone to be with the Lord, we should think about them today as being not dead, but never more alive than they are today with Christ. The story is told, I'm sure some of you have heard it, of a godly old man who was dying and was on his deathbed, very near the end. And a friend came to see him, and as he wished him goodbye, he said to his friend who was dying, "Oh," he said, "you'll soon be leaving the land of the living to enter the land of the dead." And his friend spoke in a weak voice, but he said, "Oh no, you've got that wrong. I'll soon be leaving the land of the dead to go to the land of the living." And that's what it'll be, friends. It's the land of the living for the people of God, those who pass through what we have here. In the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But there's also here, you see, help in the valley. "For thou art with me," it says. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And there, friends, is the reason why you will fear no evil. It is the reason why you don't need to fear death. "For thou art with me. I will never leave nor forsake thee." It's not as if you're a Christian here in this life. Death comes, and then there's a period of time, as it were, when you're passing through it, I can put it that way, and you're on your own. Not at all. People speak about, people, when death comes, you have to face it alone. Absolute nonsense for the Christian. You don't have to face it alone. You don't face it alone if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can be sure of. That is no doubt about it. "Thou art with me," he says here. And notice here in verses 1-3 that David talks about the Lord. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He make me to lie down. He leadeth me beside waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his known name's sake." But then, in verse 4, it is a personal thing. "For thou art with me." And verse 5, "thou preparest a table." What was there before us talking about him, and he's now talking a different way. He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. "Thou art with me. Thou preparest a table. Thou anointest my head with oil." Thou is there. So friends, as the Lord's people, He will always be with us, not just in life, but also in and through death. So we can say, therefore, I will fear no evil. Why should we? He is with us in this life. As death is seen as an enemy, he is with us going through death at the same time. And when we have that faith that arises from a personal knowledge and a personal acquaintance with the Lord, it is, if you like, the trust that and the leading that sheep have from the shepherd. And isn't that what the Christian can say, as the apostle says elsewhere? I know whom I have believed. Thou art with me. I know whom I have believed. I can face death. I've got help in the valley. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so the believer is thankful, and he counts his blessing that he now understand what death is. But it is what? It is but the gateway to glory. It is the gateway to glory. Here we have this picture then, the valley of the shadow of death and so on. The valley here, we know, as I said earlier, the picture of a valley with hills on each side, mountains causing shadows. But then when you think about the whole picture here, even physically, when you think about it, hills or mountains, what causes them to throw shadows? Well, it is the bright light, the sun shining above them. That's what causes the shadows there. And so for you, believer, when you pass through this valley, as all of us must, be encouraged in this. The Lord is above us. The Lord's eye is upon us. The Lord is with you. Death is but a shadow. It is but a shadow. And we need not fear the storms of this life. We need not fear death when it comes either. If the Lord is with us and we are the Lord's, why should we fear? Not that there won't be difficulties, but never, ever forget that the Lord is with you. This is what the hope is in our storms of this life. Again, a note I read some time ago many years ago when a ship crossing the Atlantic, and there was a family crossing over who were the captain's family. And it got very wild, and the storm was there, and the ship was being tossed to and fro, even more so than nowadays. And the wee boy woke up terrified. And then he put his head out the door of the cabin and saw a sailor, and he asked, who is steering the ship? And he said, told, oh, it's your father, the captain. And he went back to sleep, comforted to know that in the storm, his father was in charge, as it were, of the ship. And that's when we can be, friends, when the storms come. Remember Peter, when he was in prison, sent to prison by Herod, expecting that he would going to be put to death. And what do we read there about him? He's there chained. He's sleeping. He's fast asleep. Why was that? Because the comfort of the Lord. I dare say he probably slept better than even Herod that night. How is that? Thou art with me, therefore I fear no evil. Why do you tonight, Christian, not fear then, not even when you face death or enter into it? Because he has gone before us. And we now are those who are his, been washed and made clean from our sins in his blood. And what does that mean for you? Well, it means that God's anger is turned away and that you need not fear. God's anger is turned away and appeased. Therefore, there's no punishment in death for you. It's not a punishment in any way whatsoever. So now we now already have the earnest of the Spirit. And having the Spirit, we've got the foretaste of heaven, have we not, in this world. And we've got the assurance that sin will no longer have dominion over us. And death will not have any more dominion over us. So your soul will no longer be subject to wrath, any sense of wrath or any fear of punishment as you pass through the valley. Why then is this, friend? Because of your sinless state. So you can see, I said earlier, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thou art with me. And if we would see death, and I'm not saying that none of us fear death in one sense, but really, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not be facing death as the unbeliever. It is the last enemy, of course it is. But we're not alone in it. It's in one part of what the unbeliever facing death, that he may tremble and be terrified at the thought of it. But the believer doesn't have to be. Death, as somebody, an old writer put it, is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. It is simply putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. It is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. It's simply putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. And that's what awaits, friend, when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then there's the final comfort in it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, some people have different views about what this means. But the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Some people say that one is for correction and the other for just guiding. But they are both a comfort. Some others have the idea to do that, something to do of teaching of the law and the gospel. But it's to do with this life, of course, before we enter into death. Others simply just about guarding and the picture, as it were, and we have to be careful about over-spiritualizing some parts of Scripture, protection of the sheep by the shepherd. But at the least, these are emblems here. They are there for a purpose. There are emblems, I believe, that of authority and power of the shepherd in protection from the enemy and guidance as well. And they are a comfort. And they are a comfort even, and a chastisement of God even can be a comfort to God's people. And there's that encouragement as well, the guidance that is given at the same time. Maybe it speaks even of kingship here and rule. And so, friends, just as the shepherd used such in shepherding the sheep, in being their protector and fighting for them, guiding and correcting them, so it is here. And he is there with them to protect them. And we know that in the Far East, the whole idea of a shepherd would be one that would be out in the fields all night with them, usually to take them into some place where he could keep an eye on them together. And he would put them in there and guide them with a rod, and if necessary, give them, as it were, with a rod and the staff, a blow, as a light blow even, to guide them where they would go. But he would himself never lay down until the sheep were resting and the sheep were safe. That's what we have. And that's a comfort to us tonight as well. A comfort to know, friends, that for you, child of God, that you will not be left to yourself. That he will keep you this side of death, through death, and in death. What a comfort that is. He is with you. So when you finally, friend, lie down under the shadow of death, in that final darkness, he will be with you. And you can have that comfort. What is our further comfort? Well, the further comfort is, of course, that he has gone before us and that he awaits us on the other side. That is what our hope is. Is it not? What would heaven be without him? Why would anyone want to go there if he wasn't there? And is he not your heaven itself in that sense? Do you look forward to being with him? Be encouraged by this, friends. He has prepared a place of eternal rest, and he is with us to take us and to accompany us into that eternal rest for ourselves. And so, sin, the wolf of sin, if you like, will no more be seen or heard. troubling the sheep. The roar of Satan, like a lion roaring, seeking to devour you, that will be gone. It will be gone. And oh, then the sense of the shepherd's help and presence will be so real for you. Peace is there. Peace is there. But you might be saying, well, I am afraid that I am afraid of death. It is said, is it not, to be the last enemy. Isn't, we read that in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is the last enemy. But friend, that's not the end of the text, is it? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death will cease to reign. No more ever to die. All that will raised up will live forever with the Lord. Your rebellion will be gone. Your fears will be gone. Your sin will be gone. All that troubles you now will be no more. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes you and he leads you and he guides you, and you need not fear even when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because he is with you and his rod and his staff comfort you. Death. You know, death is often personified, is it not, as a tyrant exercising, if you like, despotic power over the human race. But he will be destroyed. Death will be destroyed. That is a great comfort to us. And what a comfort then surely to have that for ourselves. To be with Christ, which is far better. To go through this, yes, we must. But though we will die, we will emerge triumphant on the other side with the shepherd, our holy shepherd there. Friend, are you prepared for that day? Some of us here will be gone before others. Some of us who are getting older, humanly speaking, more likely that we'll go away and be gone before some who are younger. But whatever our age, we need to be ready and to be prepared. And what's the best and the only preparation is to have the shepherd with us, having rescued us and been with us even through the gates of death into eternity. One final note. Some of you will have heard of F.B. Meyer, an interesting man in many ways. Maybe we wouldn't agree with everything that he had, but he was a good man. But he was ill and he went to the doctor. And it was found that he was dying. And he wrote a letter to his best friend. And he said in the letter, this man who lived in another part of the States, he said in the letter, I've just been told today by my doctor that I've only got a few days to live. And he said, it may be even before this letter reaches you, I shall have entered into glory. And he finished the letter by saying this, don't trouble to write back. We shall meet together again in the morning. Could you face death with such confidence? Do you long for death? Oh, well, sometimes and some days. And it's usually because of difficulties and trials, isn't it, we are going through. And just to see, friends, and I believe we will see loved ones, our relationship will be different. And it's a wonderful thought, I'm sure, for you as it is for me, to think of some I loved so much in this world who have gone before into glory. Ah, to see them again. I know the relationship will be different. But I tell you, friend, that there is one that we will surely long to see more than even the closest relative we have in this life, to see the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And when you enter and you hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father," enter into the joy of the Lord. Ah, my friend, do you have that confidence tonight? It's a holy confidence. It's not presumption. If you are Christ's, it's with a holy confidence that you can say, "Yes, Lord, I am here." And he will have escorted you through, as it were, and welcomed you in to be forever with the Lord. Oh, friends, to be with Christ, surely, as we are told in Scripture, is indeed far better. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed and gracious God, we pray that thou will prepare us for eternity. We do not know what awaits before that voice of death comes and calls us. But we know that this is where we must be ready and be prepared. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would know thy presence, and maybe sooner than we think, that we have to pass through that porch, that gate. But if it is to be forever with the Lord, why should we fear? Undertake for us in the week that lies ahead, and take away every sin, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen.